Open with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. We finished the book of 1 Timothy, but here in this passage in Acts 20 are words that Paul gives. St. Paul, who was the pastor, he was there in the city of Ephesus where Timothy was the pastor as Paul wrote to him in 1 Timothy. Paul was the pastor. He was the founding pastor there. He preached over a year and a half there. I mean, 3 years, I'm sorry, 3 years in Ephesus. And so he was the pastor. He had passed the baton on to Timothy. And Timothy was the one who, the book, the epistle that we studied. Now, Paul is making his journey. If you know anything about St. Paul, he went out on missionary journeys to either start or to encourage churches as he went around throughout Asia Minor. I'm just kind of sharing a little bit of this with you because it'll make a little bit more sense when you read the book of Acts, when you read a little bit of the gospel, the New Testament, you begin to see how things start to fit into place, that there is a reason and a purpose for all these books and all the, what the Word of God says. It's teaching, but it's also fitting together with other believers. And so St. Paul realizes that his life is short, his time is coming, and as he's traveling back to Jerusalem, he sends message word ahead to the elders and in the city of Ephesus to meet him at the harbor. They're not right on the harbor, but they're a bit of a distance because he wants to give them some last words. And so Paul shares with them some last words. And there's one verse there that I want to pull out of that that Paul shares with them. And it's verse 32, Acts chapter 20, verse 32. He said, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And that's our passage for this morning. That's what we want to talk about. It's about building your life. It's about building your life, getting on the right track, being in the right road for your life. Many of you who have young children, you try to instill in them and teach them values. You try to teach them manners. You try to teach them common sense. You try to teach them about directions. If you look towards the mountains, that's north. You know, if you look at the mountains and you look this way, that's west, to give them some idea. Now, I know many of you do not ride the bus, but that was really essential for those of us in the generation that rode the bus a lot, to know kind of somewhat directions. And so those are some of the things that you develop in your children, and you want to raise them up to play well with each other and get along and not to be bullies and not to be intimidated and all these different things in life. But there are some spiritual parts that we fail or we forget or we're not as strong on. And these are the things that Paul has been talking to the people there when he wrote the book of Ephesians, also when he wrote to their pastor Timothy, and he also is a reminder to us. Now, some of us get a late start on the spiritual life or in the spiritual activities or a relationship with God, but it's still doable. Sarah and Liz's brother, John, he was here about a month ago. He's already had both of his knees replaced, and he's 50-something. Now, he shared with me, we were talking about it. He says in the initial people who put knee replacements in, their desire was to let them go as far as they could, as long as they could, before they replaced them. But he says what they found out is that you go further and further, you start walking a little, I don't know what another word for it, but chueco, crooked. You're compensating for the pain. He said what happened is when they put the knee in and it strains you back out, there's more pain. Trying to get your body back into shape, trying to get your body back into alignment. You may not have a knee replacement, but you struggle limping, right? There's a pain, and then before you know it, the doctor says, because you've been limping or favoring this, it's thrown this off. Or because you're doing this, it's thrown this off. Or you're hesitant. Well, in our lives, if we don't include that spiritual component of worship, of prayer, and of truth, and of salvation, we have been walking out of alignment from the way God created us. And God wants us to be in alignment with Him. And for some of us, if we come later in life to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. We give our lives to Him. There are some aches and pains or some pulling of muscles or alignments or it feels uncomfortable and this isn't right. God's not working and you want to throw in the towel. You want to give up because it's hard. Well, friends, if we've ignored God and His ways and His truth, and then we want to jump in and we expect God to fix everything overnight, it doesn't always happen. Now, I know there's some who have had a struggle with addiction. They come to know Christ, and they still continue to struggle. And yet I've known others who they came to Christ, they gave their life to Christ, and overnight their addiction was gone. But, friends, we can't give up. We can't give up. And this is, so somebody who comes and they try God and it doesn't work because there's pain and there's heartache, because you're trying to fix things and get things straightened out, you want to give up. But then there's those of us who are Christians who we just tend to take it for granted. You know, we just start to coast. Kind of like in our marriages, right? We start to take our spouse for granted, right? Where we used to bring them flowers, we don't bring them weeds, but we just don't bring them. You know, we used to freshen up a little, and now it's, you know, para qué, you know, why? Well, we tend to take things for granted, and we tend to coast. It's like, well, I already got my prize, I already caught her, what do I need to brush my teeth for, and take a shower, and all these things, right? Spiritually, well, I'm saved, I read my Bible, I have a Bible, I read it from time to time. We just tend to let the flame go down. Let the flame go down. And that's why St. John writes later to the Ephesians in the book of Revelation. He says, you're doing a lot of things well, but this one thing I have against you, you've left your first love. And so, friends, this morning, I want us to understand that maybe life has been difficult in trying to incorporate or put into or surrender completely to God and His ways. Don't give up. Don't give up. Maybe some of you have kind of just started to coast. And I'm asking you to get off the cruise control. I'm asking you to get up, stand up, and be counted with God and His ways. And so here, Paul, he has a bunch of things to tell them, and we've already seen where he's warning them about the false teachers. Well, as we went through 1 Timothy, we saw how he was warning Timothy, protect them, protect yourself, protect against this, protect against that. Well, today he wants to commend the elders here so that they might commend the people. And there's four things that I want us to see here this morning in this passage. And the first one is this, that there was no one greater than God to trust with your life. There is no one greater than God to trust with your life. Now, I know there's times that we acknowledge that, but do we believe that? Look what, of all the things that Paul can leave them with, he says this, verse 32. Now, I commend you to God. I entrust you to God. I give you to God. I point you to God. I ask that you follow God. I ask that you grab hold of God and His ways. Why? Because Paul, by this time in his life, was completely confident, fully assured that there was no one greater than God to entrust his life with. There is no one greater, no one who cares more for him than God. There is no one who is more faithful than God, and there was no greatest promise maker and promise keeper than God. And he's telling them that this is the last time I see you, which is probably going to be the last time I do see you. Trust God. And friends, as a pastor, if I could tell you one thing, trust God. Acknowledge God in all your ways and lean not on your own understanding. Right? Isn't that what Proverbs 3:5 says? And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will what? Make your path straight or direct your paths. Trust God. Friends, if there's anything we can do in our lives that will improve, that will bring us peace, that will bring us joy, it's to trust God and trust your life to God. Pour your life out on Him. Let Him carry you. Let Him direct you. Let Him lead you. He says again, I commend you to God. Not your resources, not your credit card, not your parents, not your spouse, not your boss, not your own ingenuity and wisdom, not your own ways, but trust God. And in trusting God, for those of you who are minors, you need to surrender to your parents. You need to honor your parents. You need to honor your boss. But God is first and foremost. Philippians 4:19 says that, "My God will supply all your needs." My God will supply all your needs according to his riches. How many riches does he have? An infinite number of riches. And God is willing to supply you according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. My God, Paul is saying, will supply all of your needs. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 5:7. He says, "Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Does God care for you? But why do I have to have so many difficulties? Why are there so many problems in my life? Well, one, it might be because of sin in your life. Two, it might be because of sin in somebody else's life that's affecting you. But ultimately, God is saying, put all of that on me, and that's a matter of faith, right? That's a matter of faith, taking it off your shoulders, taking the weight off of you, putting it on Christ, putting it on God to say, "Here, Lord, I know you care for me. I trust you. Take care of it, please." And in the process, you and I grow stronger, and God works in our lives. This word anxiety could be discontentment, discouragement, despair, questioning, pain, suffering, and whatever other trials you may encounter. Because we can trust his love, his faithfulness, his power, his wisdom. Don't you like it when you can just take the weight off of you and put it on God? And to trust him that he will work through you and through this difficult situation? No doubt Peter got this from the psalmist, because in Psalm 55 it says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Friends, when we shake in fear, it's because we're not trusting God. When we feel like our life is falling apart, it's because we're not looking to God. You know, again, if anybody could have said, "My life is a mess, my life is falling apart," is Joseph. And he and the scriptures give him a pretty good number of chapters in the book of Genesis. His brothers hated him. They sold him into slavery. A woman chased him, and he said no, and she lied about him and had him thrown in jail. He was forgotten in jail, and all this mess, all this stuff. And at the end, he tells his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Amen, right? We don't know why we go through some of these things. We don't know why we have difficulties. I was listening to Ravi Zacharias, and the question was given to him about why doesn't God stop the evil? Or somebody from getting, it was a specific incident that had happened. He says, he tells a story about this man his horse ran away, and his neighbor came and told him. He says, "Bad luck, I guess, huh?" And the guy says, "Well, what do I know about that?" Well, a few days later, the horse came back with several other horses, several wild horses. And so he had a bunch of horses. And the neighbor comes and says, "Oh, good luck, I see." And the guy says, "Well, I don't know about that." Well, the son went out to try to tame one of the wild horses and broke his leg in the process. The neighbor comes and says, "Well, I guess it's bad luck, right?" He says, "Well, what do I know about that?" Well, a couple days later, a gang of guys had come. They were trying to raise up and recruit young men, and they stopped at the man's house, and they said, "We need your son, we want your son, we're going to take your son." But when they found out he had a broken leg, they left him and went somewhere else. So was it good or bad? The trials of life, the difficulties, the situation, we don't understand. We may not comprehend or understand why something difficult God has allowed into our lives, like Job. But God has his purpose and his reasons, and we can trust him. Why? Because he is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere fully present. He's unchangeable. He's compassionate. He's loving. He's caring. All these things. But we, in our finite minds and our inability to comprehend God completely, all we can do is step out in faith and say, God, there was no one more powerful than you. And in all that power, you know me and you care for me. And I can trust my life to you. Isn't that awesome? 1 Peter 4:19 says, therefore also, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Entrust your soul, entrust your life to Him. Surrender your life to Him. It's more than just getting a get out of hell free card. You know, Monopoly, get out of jail free. It's more than just getting out of hell free or avoiding eternity separated from God. It's about a life today. It's a quality life today. It's what we talked about a few weeks ago about the abundant life. That God offers this life to you and me, that we can trust Him. We can trust Him. There was a pastor who, he had preached at his church for many years, and he received notice from his doctor that he had terminal cancer, and that this terminal cancer was inoperable, and that it would take its course, and within months he would die. And the pastor got up, he says, look, I've taught you how to live, I've shown you how to live with my life, and now I'm going to show you how to die. Why? Because of a faith in God. That God had His hand upon him. That it wasn't just for the good times, but it was even for the difficult times in life. Friends, can you trust God in the good times and in the difficult times? It's not always as easy as you think it is. Because in the good times, we tend to think, oh, well, what is the... Is it King Lemuel in Proverbs 30? He says, God, two things I ask of you. Don't give me so much that I'll forget you. And don't give me so little that I'll have to go and steal, that I'll go and steal and disgrace your name. Friends, God knows exactly what we need. And we just need to trust Him because He cares for us. So friends, I commend you to God. I commend you to God that you would entrust your life to Him. For He is faithful, and He is to be trusted. The second thing we see here in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, is that the certainty of your future does not depend on your circumstances or any other person, but upon the word of God's grace. The certainty of your future does not depend on circumstances. Because Paul says here to them, now I commend you to God, and to the word of His grace. The word of His grace can be the gospel, but it's not just the gospel to believe for salvation. It is His word. But we find that the gospel, the word of grace, is what opens the door for us to have a relationship with Him. And that our reality, our life does not rely on our circumstances. There was a lady who had gone to camp as a chaperone. And she was afraid of water. She was afraid of water, and they had to go canoeing. And she was given a boat, and she was with one or two other campers on the boat. And as they're canoeing, it was like a fork in the river, and she took the wrong one. And in trying to get the canoe onto the right one, she capsized. And she's flailing, help, 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 help. And another canoe came up. He says, stand up. And she realized that the water was shallow and that she could stand up. Friends, too often we live in that, we're flailing, not realizing that all we have to do is stand up on God and His word and we are secure. You know, too often we think that God's foundation is not there in our lives because of all this stuff going. Friends, stand up. Stand on the promises of God, my Savior. As we used to sing, standing on the promises of God. The gospel is for big sinners who need a big God with big grace. Are you a big sinner? And we needed a big God with big grace. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that it may make you grow in respect to salvation. Of the several babies here, are there any of the babies who did not cry for milk? Did not cry because they were hungry? Our grandson, he definitely cried. The other babies, you cry. It's because they're hungry. It's a natural response of physical life. When a baby's not crying for milk or not cry when they're hungry, they have to go to the doctor because there's something wrong. Well, friends, just as a baby longs for milk, so should we long for spiritual truth, spiritual food. And we must pursue it and press on, and we have it here. We have the word here. Again, long for the pure milk of the word, that it may make you, and that by it you will grow. You will grow. We don't just put baby milk in a baby's mouth just to keep them quiet, do we? Because we expect them to grow. And then they move on from milk, right? They move on to pureed stuff, right? And then before you know it, they're looking at your plate, Dad, and saying, hey, are you going to finish those? They grow up. They develop. They get stronger. They mature. They grow in all the things. And friends, God is telling us, Paul is telling the Ephesian elders and to tell the Christians there in Ephesus, stand on the word of God. Feed on the word of God. It will be a blessing for you. Paul tells the Thessalonians this way. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. 1 Thessalonians. Save your place there in Acts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Everybody there? Verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. You received it, not as a word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God. Do you realize every time you open this book, this is God speaking to you? This is God revealing himself to us? It is God telling us who he is and what he's like and how it responds to issues and how he has sent his son and so many other truths here. So as you open your Bible every day, whenever you open your Bible, even if you open your on your cell phone, it is the word of God. This is God speaking. And as we teach here, as you hear it on the radio, it is God speaking to you. And Paul is telling the Thessalonians, you received it from us, and knowing that what it really is, it is the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Okay? It does its work in you who believe. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your sins, if you're born again, if you're a child of God today, you let the work of God do its work in you. Yes or no? But that calls us to surrender. In the Old Testament, when God delivered Israel out of Egypt, and you saw that in several different movies, he brought them into the Promised Land after 40 years of wilderness because they disobeyed. God says, I will go before you, and you will follow me, and I will give this land to you. See, he didn't want to just destroy all the enemy, because then the land would sit there and things would fall apart and weeds would grow. He was moving them through step by step to possess the land. And he was sending out the enemy. He was getting rid of those who were in opposition to God, in opposition to Israel. Friends, God wants to do the same thing. His word is opening our hearts and our minds. And step by step, he is giving us victory. He is allowing us to enjoy the victory. As we move forward in our lives, whether it's maturing, whether it's putting off sin, whether it's getting rid of an addiction, whether it's reconciling with our family, whether it's restoring a broken relationship, whatever it might be, the Word of God is doing its work. In the book of Isaiah, it says that the Word of God goes out and it does not come back void. It does not come back empty. It's doing its work in us. And for those of us who receive it, it's opening our hearts for those of us who resist, for those of you who resisted, it's bringing a hardness to our heart. So the question I have for you this morning, one of the questions is your heart getting harder because of the word, or is it getting more receptive to God? Are you open? Are you allowing your heart to open? You know, in Psalm it says, your word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's doing its work. Are you allowing the word of God to do its work in you? And that's your responsibility. Come back with me to Acts chapter 20, please. The third thing we want to see here is that there is no greater foundation than the Word of God to build your life on. There is no greater foundation for you to build your life on. Verse 32, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. To build you up. In other words, it's God's spiritual gymnasium. You go to the gym, whether you take a workout class or you work on the weights, you get on the treadmill, you get on the elliptical, the Stairmaster, you get on the different variety of machines, or you get on a stationary bike and they sitting back like this or sitting up straight. All of it is to work it out. But I remember when I first went to the gym, the YMCA, he's a brother in the Lord, I can't even think of his name. Anyway, he instructed me on what each of these machines and how to work them for their maximum and what part of the body they work out. So I had an instructor there, Jerry. Jerry's his name. Davi knows him too. He does spin class, but he's also part of the gym. And he's showing me all these different weights. He's instructing us and showing us and letting us know when we're doing something wrong. Well, God's Word, through the Holy Spirit, through faithful men and women who teach the Word of God, bring instruction into your life, and they prepare you for the gymnasium of life when you go out there. Okay, now, it's very easy to say, lean not on your own understanding, but how often do we run out there and do it on our own understanding? We need to incorporate what we're learning from God's Word, putting it into practice in our daily life. And sometimes we need somebody to coach us through that. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, so we have the Holy Spirit and His direction and His leadership, but this is the importance of the fellowship of believers, that we come in as believers to encourage and to help each other, right? Our goal is not to kick people and knock them down. Our goal is to build them up. And we come and do life together. We come and encourage one another. We come and point out the pitfalls to others. You know, usually a good way of telling somebody, he says, you know what? This happened in my life, da 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 da. And you know what? I see some warnings, some danger signs in your life. You know what? I just want to warn you. I've been down that path. It's not worth it. Yeah. But how do we as Christians usually do it? Oh, you're sinning. You're going to hell. You're doing it wrong. You're messing up. You're blowing it. What's God going to? No, friends. That's not a good instructor. You know, there's a difference between an instructor and a doctor. You go to the doctor and says you're overweight. Well, that's their job. An instructor at the gym will say, hey, this is how we can get healthy. This is how we can help you, right? Isn't that the kind of person you will gravitate to? You want to go to a person that keeps telling you you're fat, right? Maybe that's why a lot of you don't want to go to the doctor. I don't know. But we find ourselves here in the gymnasium of life, and God is using His Word to help us, to strengthen us, to build us. Friends, why do we avoid it then? Why do we run from the Word? Why do we feel like, oh, I got to read the Word today? You know, Pastor said, you tell them, mijo. You tell them they need to read their Word. Look with me to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy. Verse 16 and 17. Again, another familiar passage. All Scripture is inspired or God-breathed by God and profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be what? Adequate, equipped for every good work. When you go to your job, don't you hope they give you on-the-job training? Don't you hope that they give you some instruction as how to accomplish your work? Of course. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 13, please. Hebrews 13. The last chapter of the book of Hebrews, right before the book of James. Verse 20. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. Okay? Very, very poetic way of saying that Jesus died for us and that God raised him from the dead. Equip you in every good thing to do his will. Equip you to do everything, to do every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the work of God. That is the work that you and I need to embrace. And as Paul is giving these last instructions to the elders there, make sure the people understand that it is the word of his grace, the gospel, the word of God that will build them up. That will build them up. Come back with me to Acts chapter 20. Paul tells the Colossians, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Friends, you will not have success in spiritual life if you are not in the word of God. And if you're not in the word of God regularly, if you are not in the word of God daily, there's just no other way around that. There's no other way of growing spiritually unless you're in the word. Whether it's you're listening to audio or you're reading it. Now, sometimes maybe you need to read it two or three times. Maybe you need to listen to it one time a day and then read it. Do whatever it takes for you to get into the Word of God. It's work. Some of you enjoy reading, and some of you can read well, and you understand, and you comprehend, and you hold on to it. There's others of us who we struggle with reading. It's not that we don't know how to read. It's just the comprehension. It's just not sticking. We just need to read and reread and go over it and over it. And before you know it, it sticks. It sticks. The fourth thing we want to see here is that there is no greater blessing than to know that I am an heir of God's riches. There is no greater blessing than to know that I am an heir of God's riches. Look what he says here. He says, and this word of God, he says, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. We are co-heirs with Christ, is what it says. You stop and think about that. How many of you ever received an inheritance? Well, whatever you've gotten doesn't compare anywhere to the inheritance that we have in Him. Now, I want you to look with me to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. It's right after the book of Galatians, as you're turning your New Testament. But Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13. He says, In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed. Does that describe you? Have you listened to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation? Have you believed in the gospel? Have you believed the gospel? Okay, then he says, you were sealed in him. You were sealed in him. A stamp of ownership, okay? A seal of protection. A seal of don't mess with Joe, as the song goes, right? Don't mess with this. This is God's. The seal of God has been placed on you. You've been sealed with him. You have been protected. You have been put in that Ziploc bag where no one is going to get you out of, right? The Ziploc that announces that their seal is the best seal of all bags, right? God's seal is even better, a seal of ownership. Okay, you are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge, in other words, a down payment of our inheritance, okay? The Holy Spirit is given to us. The Holy Spirit's presence in our life is the guarantee. It's the deposit. It's the seal of ownership that you are an heir of Christ. Can anybody break that seal? Can anybody break that? No, friends. God has sealed us with His Holy Spirit. We are now recipients of His inheritance. There are some wills that say, if so-and-so doesn't behave or so-and-so doesn't do this, they're out of the will, right? And people have I don't know if any of you have rich uncles or what, but have they, maybe you've seen, I've heard it done, where they use the will to manipulate your behavior. Well, if you don't behave, you're not going to be part of the will. God doesn't do that. God has given us an inheritance based on His grace and His love. And He says, here is your inheritance. All the riches of my fathers are yours. When the prodigal son's father was dealing with the other brother who was jealous and upset, he says, everything I have is yours, mijo. Everything I have is yours. Why are you upset? Why are you upset, mijo? Friends, all the riches of God, the blessings of God are ours. And Paul, St. Luke wrote the book of Acts in verse 20, chapter 26. He says, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. I am an heir of Christ. I am an heir. God's riches are mine. Not just for some future time. God is sharing His blessings with us even today that we would live a rich life. That we would live that abundant life, friends. There is no reason why we should be living like paupers the word leaves me right now. But there's no reason we should be living poor when it comes to spiritual things. Okay? I'm not talking about the kind of car you drive, the house you live in. I'm not talking about your physical health. I'm talking about your spiritual relationship with God. Because, friends, we're moving on. This isn't our home. We're moving on. That day's going to come for each of us. And that day will be in heaven, enjoying the fullness of our inheritance. And that the day will come when this earth and these heavens will be destroyed and a new heavens and a new earth will be created for us by God. And that we will be participants, we will be citizens. What the scriptures already say, today we are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Friends, there's no reason why we should. But friends, he says, build your life up on the word of God as you commend yourself to the truth of God and God Himself. This is the path for life, and this is maybe some adjustments you and I need to make to help us walk better, to walk straighter, to be at peace, to have confidence, to have assurance, to reconcile. First Peter tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His mercy caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Wow. So friends, where are you building your life at? What direction are you going in? Are you walking in His path? Are you in His ways? Well, as the worship team comes up and we sing our last song, I want to encourage you to contemplate that. I want you to hear the song, the words as you sing them. I want you to listen well. I want you to meditate on this idea. Is my life in line with God? One of the questions that was asked, is your life where you want it to be? And I had to think about it for a moment. And I said, my life is where I have allowed it to go. And no, I don't think my life is where I want it to be, because where I wanted it to be, I realized, isn't where it needed to be. And my final answer was, I want my life to be where God wants my life to be. Because as a young pastor, you know, you have all these visions of grandeur. Every time you preach the word, 30 people are going to get saved, and you're going to have a big church, and no one's going to ever have problems, and you're just going to be the savior of the world. You know, those are some of the things that happen with pride in some pastors. And, you know, I realize my life is where I've allowed it to go. And that's not a good place, friends. We cannot allow our lives to go somewhere. We have to allow it. We have to allow God to lead our lives. We have to follow hard after Him. There's a good book by A.W. Tozer, The Pursuit of God. You know, it's a great book. We need to pursue God and follow His path. His path, so that we would find and enjoy the blessings of God on us. What is it going to take in your life today that's going to help you get on His path? Is it just entrusting yourself? Is it stepping out in faith to trust Him? Or maybe it's having a renewed hunger and desire for His Word. Or maybe there's some areas that you've been neglecting to build up in your life. God has brought conviction and others have said something. You just kind of, yeah, I'll get to it. Maybe that's where you need to start. Or maybe you've just been hesitant to understand and grab hold of the inheritance that God has. Maybe you've lost hope. Maybe your life has taken a direction that makes you feel unsaved or unwanted by God. Friends, God is there. He wants you. If you're His child, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Entrust yourself to God. Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that You would open our eyes, that we might see the riches of Your glory. That, Father, we would not settle for trinkets of Satan. Father, we pray, Lord, that, Father, we would honor You by entrusting ourselves to You. And that, Father, Your Word would have a central focus in our lives. Help it to influence us. Help it to build us up. Help us to grab hold of that inheritance that You will never take away from us, because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Father, lead us today, Father, in practical ways of putting Your truth to work in our lives. Father, we thank You for the many who are here today, Lord. We pray, Lord, that wherever they are, they know that they could start walking with You. Father, we thank You for that, and we praise Your holy name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. May God bless you richly.